and WUSB.FM.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Monday, August 31st. Bradstock at Camp Pocketuck continues with Ed Travers, David Amran, Falco Brothers, The Electric, and so many more, beginning at noon. Winston Erie and Twister will be at Navy Beach in Montauk at 5. The Frank Melville Memorial Park in East Setauket presents The Wayne Hart Band, 5:30. Cecilia Kirtland will be at the Rockwood Music Hall in Manhattan, Stage 3 at 8. Frank Latour and the King Bees will be at Treme in Iceland, 8 p.m. Your WUSB concert billboard for Monday, September 1st. Chris Clarkson will be at the South Street Seaport Museum, 1 p.m. Nina Etc. will be at Gilgo Beach Inn in Babylon, beginning at 2. Brain Cloud will be at Bars in Brooklyn, 7 p.m. Appearing at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 2, 9 p.m., I'm Rockburger. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, September 2nd, Buddy Marion presents The Mandolin Experience at the Michoud Beach Hut, Hampton Bays, beginning 5:30. Christine Finn and Noose Estrella, Melissa Hughes and Carolyn Chin, and more, all at Jack in Brooklyn. Beginning 7:30, Jeff Bridges and the Abiders with Jesse Bridges will be at City Winery, Manhattan at 10. Looking ahead to Wednesday, September 3rd, Jesse Terry and the Blue Sky Warning will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 2, 9 p.m. The online edition of Concert Billboard at WUSB.FM/CBB for the up-to-datest and the latest information. While there, click on one of the venue names, the phone numbers, websites, and further directions.
Listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It is 6:03 p.m. Time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
good evening.
Good evening.
Took you long enough. It's Off the Wall. Are we in the left channel again? You know, do you remember what you did last time to fix that?
Yeah, let me find the paperclip.
All right, yeah, I got a... Everything is a paperclip or some kind of... some kind of solvent or a spray. It really is a paperclip he's using to not the wrong way. You'll okay. That's good. Now we're both channels now. Wow. You know, we could fill the whole hour talking about all the things that are wrong here, but why? Why bother? What's the point? Okay, we're good. We're good.
I think we are.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't leave the paperclip in. I mean, it could injure somebody the way it's sticking out like that, but still, it keeps the board in both channels.
Wow, doesn't it look great from all the way over here?
Well, I wouldn't say it looks professional, but it does look... Well, yeah, it looks like... it looks like a solution.
Yeah, definitely. Welcome. Yeah, Off the Wall, here we are tonight. I'm just...
Oh, you got a bulletin there.
Yeah, I'm getting something in now from the weather service.
Shouldn't
regarding...
You have told me first about the bulletin? I mean, I'm sitting right here. If this is something that I need to know about, is this some kind of a red alert? Is the terrorist threat up? I mean, I should know before listeners do. I'm right in the same room.
Yeah, you raise a good point. Going on, I am alerting you now. I mean, that's
yeah, and everybody else in the world.
The
okay,
well,
no,
I mean,
fine.
I... Said it one way or another mm-hmm. during the day.
Just saying, I've been sitting here for a long time. You could have mentioned, by the way, I have this late-breaking news item that I'm going to share with the folks once we finally figure out how to get the microphone to work properly.
Yes, when we get everything settled. And here we are now, ready to go. And the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation has issued an air quality health advisory for the following counties: Richmond, Kings, Queens, New York, Bronx, Westchester, Rockland, Nassau, and Suffolk County.
Pretty much all of them. Why don't they just say all of them in this area instead of listing Richmond? Who calls it Richmond anymore? That's Staten Island.
I'm not sure. I don't know much about the...
So what? We're not supposed to breathe the air now? Is that the air is bad for us?
Yeah, you could say that. Well, I'm going to get into that. I'm going to clear that up. But in effect, from 2 p.m. this afternoon to 10 p.m. This evening, and this could have changed. This was as of, well, half past. Noon today. So the levels in outdoor air are predicted to be greater than an air quality index value of 100 for the pollutant of ground level ozone. The air quality index AQI is created as an easy way to correlate levels of different pollutants and so on.
So
it's
a world scale. Yeah, we all know that.
Yeah.
The higher the AQ value, the greater the health concern. Yes, that's obvious.
So,
why don't you tell us what happens when pollution levels are elevated?
Well, the state recommends individuals consider limiting strenuous outdoor physical activity to reduce the risk of adverse health effects. And so you ask, what are the health effects? What could possibly happen from ground level ozone? And
God, there's a picture of a lung.
Yeah, there's a lung. Yeah, well, I can get into the causes and what actually it is, but basically it is O3. That's the chemical composition.
Is that the name of a phone company overseas in Germany?
I think it's O2.
Oh, it's O2.
Yeah.
Oh, very different. Well, okay, I guess that just means that things are even worse than we thought they were.
Yeah, you could say that. So it's basically smog. We know it as smog and haze. People used to refer to L.A. as really smoggy and hazy. But it comes from chemicals and all these things. There's a huge list. It's really complicated. But ozone can make it difficult to breathe deeply and vigorously. It can cause shortness of breath and pain while taking a deep breath, cause coughing and sore or scratchy throats, inflame and damage airways, aggravate lung diseases like emphysema and asthma, chronic bronchitis, increase asthma attacks, and make lungs more susceptible to infection.
Well, gosh. And, you know, that explains it because on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as part of my agreement to repay society. Between 10 and 2, I break rocks with a bunch of other people. And today it was particularly unpleasant. It was I had trouble breathing, you know, vigorously and inhaling deeply. So now I know why. And the more you know, how does that sentence end? Well, regardless, I know more now than I did before. So there.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you know.
So people, don't breathe the air. Stay inside. Don't be doing things outdoors.
Yeah, don't. It's found at ground level and upper reaches of the atmosphere. It's created by reactions, and
could you
it's generally generally in the summer. Yeah, it's
smaller,
really tiny.
Could you have printed that any smaller? It's like microscopic print.
Yeah, it is really hard to read. I'm trying to read.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you'd like to know anything more about ozone, I'll definitely be here and can help educate people about that. But it's just hard to breathe out.
Breathe in, I thought, was the difficulty.
Yeah, that too.
All right. Well, good news. Any more good news you want to share with us, or is that pretty much...
No, that's all they gave me.
Okay, well, there's a lot more bad, negative news to share. We're sharing a microphone, by the way, so that's that makes things awfully difficult here in the studio. It's already is difficult to work in. There's no air coming in here, so I guess it's good that there's no air coming in here because the air is bad in the first place. So, but if we turn the fan on, then you can't hear us because the fan is so loud. It's just one thing after another.
It is one thing after another.
Yeah, but you know what? We have an important update. I know a lot of people want to get the results of the game we were following last Saturday, the FA Cup. It was it wasn't the extra preliminary round. It was the preliminary round, which comes before the first round qualifying, and I think there's five qualifying rounds before anyone actually really starts paying attention, because there's something like 800 teams involved. But the team that we were latching on to was known as Coleshill Town. They still are known as Coleshill Town. They were in level 9 of the pyramid. The lowest level that can get involved in the FA Cup is level 10. There's 24 levels altogether. There are so many teams, I can't even get started describing them. But Coleshill Town was playing a level 10 team known as Bromsgrove Sporting. And, you know, I predicted that they were going to kick ass because they kicked ass in the extra preliminary round with Nunnington Griff, the team you picked that started this whole thing.
Right.
And they kicked their asses 10-0. Unfortunately, on Saturday, they tied. They only managed a tie with Bromsgrove Sporting 2-2. So what that means, and this only happens in these weird rounds of the FA Cup, that means they have to play a whole new game. It's not extra time or anything like that. They have to play a whole new game on the field of the other team. And they did that today. In fact, they just finished a little while ago. They went over to Bromsgrove Sporting to finish this off. And guess what? It ended in a tie, too. It was 1-1 at the end of full time. They had to go into extra time. And Bromsgrove Sporting scored first, 2-1, and then Coleshill Town equalized. And in the end, Coleshill Town, I'm happy to say, defeated Bromsgrove Sporting, although it took them as long as it could possibly take them, 3-2. That means they move on to the first qualifying round in a couple of weeks, and we will be rooting for them again. They're playing a team, I think, called Barwell. Barwell. I don't know anything about them. I do know they're level 7, so it's a level 9 team playing a level 7 team, so they'll be at a disadvantage from this point on.
Wow. Very cool.
It's
well,
exciting.
I'm glad we're following it. We're keeping everyone updated. It's great to try to find some pictures and stuff of that, too, because we can't watch it.
We can't watch it.
Not on any TV.
Well, there were, let me see, I'm looking at the attendance figures right now. What's that number? 369 people were at the pitch today. On Saturday, it was 175 people, and the first game that we followed with Nunnington Griff, there were 92 people. So, as you can see, the crowds are getting bigger and bigger.
Right.
And when this thing winds up involving the teams that you might have heard of, there'll be tens of thousands of people. But I thought it would be fun to start at the very, very beginning and watch it develop. And you picked the team only because you like the sound of their name, Nunnington Griff?
Yeah, and they all have really good names. Mm-hmm. I'm still interested in them because of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's just a weird system, something completely alien to what we have here. But that's all we're going to talk about now for this, until a couple of weeks from now when they go out to meet Barwell. We'll find out more about who those people are. All right, getting to what's going on in the world and all that. Been following the news?
Yes, I have.
Have you? Well, then, then you might know that there's another video circulating, another a beheading on behalf of the Islamic State.
Similar one.
Well, actually, it looked pretty damn similar. Same guy doing it, same setting. The victim was dressed up the same way. And this is the part I don't understand. They get the victim to say something that that kind of supports the people that are about to kill him. And I just don't understand how they're able to get somebody to agree to that. Do they maybe say that you know, you'll be able to walk away as long as you say this? Yeah, I just don't get that part of it at all. But then again, I've been in that kind of a situation, so I can't say how it pans out.
Right. I mean, give him a break. He's a hostage. Mm-hmm. You don't know what. There's probably a whole indoctrination process or a whole induction process, and he's been sort of isolated, and who knows what kind of brainwashing or state he's in trauma wise.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But the guy, this is it's as evil can be. If you were watching a movie, you'd say to yourself, this is not realistic. But this is what the guy said, the guy that's the executioner. I'm back, Obama, and I'm back because of your arrogant foreign policy towards the Islamic State, because of your insistence on continuing your bombings and in Amrali, Zumar, and the Mosul Dam, despite our serious warnings. So, just as your missiles continue to strike our people, or a knife will continue to strike the necks of your people. Yeah, that is really kind of incredulous. And now there's a whole thing going on where Twitter is turning off any account that links to the actual video, and I think Facebook is doing something similar. And that's another whole other interesting aspect to all this. I have no desire to see that video myself. I don't really know anybody who does, but it's interesting to see how this is being detected very quickly, how it's being turned off very quickly, how people are being dealt with who show this thing. And I just wonder, will they be disciplined in any other way? How far are the authorities going to go to try and control this and lessen the impact?
Yeah, I don't think people should be, prevented from showing or having access to a video. I think the video should be accessible if someone wants to use it or copy it. Whatever typical things you do with any video, I think it should apply. But at the same time, I don't think, people who don't want to see it, I think their wishes should be respected as well. Just like any news department at a television station or a newspaper would perhaps edit for the sake of all of their audience, really, right? I mean, if we would like to evaluate media like that, we should be able to, and it's interesting that the systems they create, but they should be really used sparingly, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to just keep people comfortable that are casually watching the news, and if they want to find out more about it, they can do their research.
The thing is it really in the court of Twitter to decide what it is that you are allowed to share with people? I mean, they have certain guidelines already, I think, and action is taken if you post certain, I guess, obscene or illegal things. But this, unfortunately, in our society, I say that just because our society is so crazy as it is, this is not considered something that is not legal to share. As far as I know, violence and gruesomeness like this is something, I'm not saying that we should be preventing people from watching whatever it is they want to watch. I think it's unfortunate that people want to watch this in the first place. It's a very fine line. You know, you don't want to be controlling how people think and what they do. But at the same time, you have to wonder why. Why are they so fascinated by this? It's it raises all kinds of questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're experiencing it now, and it's worth being vigilant over, and conscious of as you consume media and pay attention to the world around us.
What if, I'm just thinking out loud now, what if you converted the video and made it into some other kind of video? You know, you can, with effects, you can change actual people into maybe stick figures or something. There are certain applications in various programs that allow you to do that. And then you simply have that video being spread around but not showing any of the recognizable people. You can see what the motions are. You can maybe hear the sounds. Yeah, it's horrible stuff, but I'm just thinking creatively because I want to know how far the authorities will go to keep you from sharing this information. And that's basically what it comes down to in the end, is sharing of information, no matter how vile the information may be. It's something that's kind of guaranteed in our Constitution that we're allowed to do. And when that starts getting taken away for whatever reason, and it's always going to be for the worst reason, or for the best reason, really, at the beginning, and then extended to encompass so much more, which is why you have to keep an eye on when things like this happen, because it won't stop there.
Absolutely, yeah. So important to be aware of this content that's emerging on the Internet and, well, how we deal with it from a technical standpoint, but also the social implications and, well, with whatever else is going on with regards to war and international policies, mm-hmm. relationships.
Well, yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on over there. You know, last night we did something fun. We watched Fox News.
Oh, man. Is that what that was?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to move the microphone because you're playing way too low.
Well, I have...
If you watch those things over there, that's how you know. Okay.
I have duties to manage here as
right.
the...
You're
as
much
the
better now. You're much less... Yeah, that's why I kept pointing over there. So
oh, okay.
That.
Yeah, well, I was aware. Okay.
You were going up to 20 before. Now you're going up to 80.
Isn't that something?
All right. Go ahead. You were saying something.
Yeah, I forgot.
Oh, boy. Now I'm low. Okay, I'm over here now. I'm sorry, folks. We have one microphone working in this place. It's about as crude as you can possibly imagine. Yeah, we were talking about Fox News. I wanted to hear something shrill last night in the car while we were driving. So we can actually get Fox News in the car, and boy, that was something else. And then we turned it on when we got home and were listening or watching, and God, who was that guy that was on? It was...
Sean Hannity.
Sure, boy, he was just abusing somebody on the air, making them, before they could say anything, he was saying, you have to say that Hamas is a terrorist organization. And, you know, the guy was trying to make a point. Oh, why won't you say it? And it was really, you know, insulting him in very crude and horrible ways. And the guy was just taking it. I don't understand how they get these guests that just take it. Uh-huh. You know, I would have started throwing things at him, even if he was in a different studio.
Yeah.
It's just, you cannot get away with things like that, you know, and expect people not to react.
Yeah, so abusive.
It's bullying is what it is. I mean, yeah, maybe somebody disagrees with you. Maybe they're saying something that you find to be abhorrent, but let them talk, for God's sake. That's, you know, the standard that we try to maintain here and almost every other place that I'm aware of. But there, it's just... I got what I asked for. I was asking for something shrill and crude and offensive, but it's so readily available on that network that it's sometimes surprising. And I'll tell you, you know, watching Hannity for a little while, it makes you want to sign up for ISIS. It really does. The biggest recruiting tool ever is that guy because, you know, if that represents America, it's got to go down. It's got to go down in flames. But I know it doesn't represent America. It really doesn't, right? Tell me that, please.
It doesn't.
Oh, thank you. Who does that? Wolf Blitzer? They're all bad. They're all bad in their own ways, you know? And I trust Vice. I trust Vice. And this week, supposedly, A&E Networks, of all people, expressed an interest in buying Vice, and apparently they're worth a couple of $1 billion now. And it could actually turn into a full-fledged news service.
And C-SPAN, I trust them.
Yeah, but they're not really a news. They're basically a public affairs type
public
thing.
Service.
Yeah, they don't really comment on much.
Yeah, that's brilliant though. Okay, so would it be a whole Vice channel then?
Maybe, but you know, I have to think it would suffer. It would suffer. They would be beholden to advertisers and all kinds of corporate things. Hopefully, they would be able to stand up to it. You know, that's all it takes. You got to stand up to this crap, and if you do that, most times, if you have the public behind you, you will win. But the public has to be behind you. The public has to speak up. And that's, you know, that's kind of what I see happening now with this whole Ukraine thing. Obama is being he's being criticized left and right, literally, but mostly by the right, because he's not going to war with Russia right now. That idiot Menendez in New Jersey has been quoted left and right. I'm saying that a lot, aren't I? All over the place. He's been quoted by the mass media because he's calling for Obama to send weapons to Ukraine, which basically would be starting another Vietnam, because you'll be arming one side against another superpower, and with the threat of two superpowers being drawn into it directly. And for what exactly? What are we really talking about? We're talking about some disagreements between people who live next door to each other, where the boundaries keep changing over the years. And I don't want to sound like I don't care about what's going on over there, but I asked this question a number of weeks ago. What exactly would be the difference if the pro-Russian rebels led that region, or if the Ukrainian authorities led that region from Kiev? What would it mean to the average person? That's something we're not talking about. We're not mentioning the changes. And I think the only changes would be who's in office, who's actually running things. Yeah, you know, one side would be more pro-Russian than pro-Western, but you know what? The Western part of Ukraine is already more pro-Western, and that's not going to change. And Putin has shown no interest whatsoever in going into Kiev and going into the Western part of the nation and basically turning that into a pro-Russian state, which is a lot less than what he had before what that particular regime had before the fall of the Soviet Union. So let's stop pretending that we don't understand what his concerns are. Obviously, the borders are shrinking. NATO is moving closer to Moscow. It's something that obviously he is not going to be comfortable with, and he's going to try and prevent that in one way or another. You flip the tables, we'd be doing the exact same thing. We have done the exact same thing. And, you know, I see, every time I turn on the TV and I'm seeing coverage of this, it's somebody in the United States saying what has to be done in Ukraine. And, you know, you could pick any country in the world. The United States would be dead last in the countries that should be telling Russia what to do in Ukraine, because we have got so much blood on our hands for all the countries we've invaded, all the regimes that we've toppled. You pick a continent, and I think I could even prove it in Australia and Antarctica if you give me enough time, but every continent has had abuses, has had us basically trying to manipulate, trying to control, and let's look at what happened in El Salvador, for instance, if you want to get close to home, or Nicaragua, where people elected to go one way, and we pushed them another way because we weren't comfortable with that so close to our borders. We've done it so many times, and not just near our borders, all over the damn world. So we have no moral authority to go in there and tell Russia, you can't be doing this. Any other country in the world, yeah, you know what, they have more authority to do that than we do. And I would like to hear what the countries nearest to them have to say about that, and Russia should listen as well. But, you know, something we should also keep in mind is that the people, the leaders in Ukraine right now, they tend to be a bit dramatic. And I mentioned this as well, too. That Ukrainian prime minister, every time he says something, it's something super dramatic. And you know, I mentioned to you yesterday, I think he should be in some kind of an opera or something, because he just is that kind of a character where everything is this really drawn-out, painful saga. And I'm not saying that bad things aren't happening, but I'm not seeing also any kind of massacres of people. I'm seeing a lot of soldiers wasting their lives, but the population is just being shelled from one side or another. But I don't think anyone is being lined up or anything like that. It's not a good situation. It's a completely avoidable situation, and it's just being made worse by all the back and forth between two superpowers.
Yeah, shelled and displaced as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, Ukraine basically is warning of and this is what I mean by the over-dramatization, a great war with Russia, the likes of which Europe has not seen since World War II. Okay, this is really what we want to get ourselves into. We want to get involved in all this over a patch of land that basically was part of the Soviet Union before, is part of Ukraine now. you know, which way do the people go in that particular region? Are they pro-Russian or are they pro what's in Kiev right now? Ask them. No one's asking them. All we're getting is, how does this affect the United States? It should not matter at all how it affects the United States. It's the Ukraine, for God's sake. It's the eastern part of Ukraine, next door to Russia. Ask the people who live around there what they want to do, and that is not happening.
Yeah, except there are like interests and like economics and stuff as well, and that's what you hear about a lot on some of the mainstream media, and that's some of the rationale I think that's being thrown around that we would be justified in being involved or aiding in some way. It is really interesting, and I wish I had more options to view the perspectives media-wise. You really have to dig, but how it's framed on each side. It's fascinating because in one interview you'll hear someone talk about being, you know, horribly victimized. The next characterization will be sort of glossing over how they were treated because it's the other side. I saw a little bit of that, and it's just it's important to know the history, and it's important to talk to the people that are there now to understand and to get a real comprehensive sense of what's going on before you act. And these inflammatory, like, comments and assertions in our media environment aren't really instructing, I think, wise decision making, and that's like what we had a lot of trouble with during the Gulf Wars and things like that. So it ought not to be that we come in and blow the whistle and say, like, okay, well, the U.S. is here to make things right, as if we know. I mean, that seems I don't know, a little presumptuous.
It's something that, I mean, it sounds callous to say it's not our fight, but it's not our fight. It's something that's going on over there, and the only reason we're involved is because we have the strategic interest in the Black Sea, in moving ever closer and isolating Russia more and more, and that's not what the people of Ukraine need. They need to be able to determine their own destiny one way or another, and it might not be the way we want them to go. It might be a compromise. What needs to happen is people need to talk to each other. There need to be discussions and not ultimatums. And I'm just hearing a lot of ultimatums on this side and coming from people that have no business making ultimatums in the first place. Not that anyone really does. Okay, so enough about that. You know about the fast food strike on Thursday?
I heard some things about this.
That's going to affect us because we won't be able to go to our usual hangouts.
Yes, four times a day.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we can stock up and have extras lying around. No, basically, seriously, all day Thursday throughout the country, well, I think about over 150 cities is what I'm hearing. I can't get a list of the 150 cities anywhere. I want to find out where the 150 cities are, but I know New York is one of them. I don't know if Long Island is considered a city. I don't know if fast food workers will be walking off the jobs, their jobs there. And this is what they're after. They want fast food workers to be paid at least $15 an hour. That seems, in this day and age, I mean, if you looked about at what things cost to work at a job like that and get paid less.
And live anywhere near there.
Yeah. It's they make $8.25 an hour now in many parts of the country, in Chicago, for instance. Chicago, that's a big city, $8.25 an hour. And that's about $600 a month take-home pay. Okay, multiply that by 12, and what do you get? That's 6 times 10 is 68. That's about $80,000, right? No, wait. No, I got that wrong. Wait, that can't be right. That's under $10,000 a year. That's like $7,200. Is that right? 600
no.
times 12? Obviously, I didn't major in math. All right, well, 600 times 10 is 6,000.
12,000 a year, right?
No, that it would be 12,000 a year if it was $1,000 a month that they were taking home. They're taking home
right.
600 a month. So if you multiply 600, and everybody listen, this is educational radio, 600 times 10 is 6,000. Then you do 2 for the 12. 600 times 2 is 1,200.
Yep.
You add 1,200 to the 6,000, and you get 7,200. That's what they're taking home, $7,200 for a full-time job. A full-time job.
No.
There are many people around here, around everywhere, that make 10 times that amount for working less, working not nearly as hard and not in such conditions. So, yeah, you know, if you feel yourself inconvenienced this Thursday because of that, think about why these people are walking off the job. And imagine what it takes to make them come back and why they would want to. And that's our society.
Absolutely. And imagine, I mean, just think of it, like, a lot of students, a lot of people that really could use the money are asking for it, and to be organized, it's worth watching and paying mind to, because that's really characteristic. I mean, that's a service that a lot of people don't even think about, and yet so many people basically live off of that. I could imagine having that being another job, maybe being a sorter with a shipping company or something on a night shift. I've known lots of people, and I know a lot of people out there probably are all too familiar with having more than one job, especially if you have a family and a lot of people relying on you, whether you're in school or you're wherever you're at in your career or your life. That's just not enough these days.
No, absolutely not. That's sobering. So Thursday, throughout the country, hopefully you will see picket signs of all sorts and hear about this, and hopefully you'll take an interest and show some support, because, wow, this is the kind of thing that definitely cannot continue if we expect people to be able to survive. And on that note, I think that takes us back to where we were last week, talking about what was going on in Comac. Boy, what a reaction we got to that, huh? Basically, the story was about the undocumented kids and the proposal to house them temporarily in a church in Comac. Comac being a town or a village a little bit to the west of here, and the shameful response by the people of Comac, or at least the people in Comac who showed up, who basically were saying that these kids are going to drive down their property values. We're talking about kids from 4 to 17. And they're staying in the space that's available to them in this church would cause crime to go up, all kinds of fear-mongering that was based on absolutely nothing. But then that led to all kinds of nationalistic statements all sorts of bigger statements being made about immigration in general, Mexicans, and you name it. And what everyone seems to forget was that we're dealing with scared kids who have no place to go, and here is a place in a church, which seems kind of logical to me, where they could be taken care of, and God forbid, the neighborhood could show them that there's nothing to be scared of, and that these are kids that will support. Shameful what happened in Comac. We got quite a response, but not a very positive response, but I can't say I'm surprised. This is ugliness that shows up everywhere in our culture. It's all around us.
All around us.
People we know, people who are friends, that feel this way, that see this as a threat to their lifestyle. And to me, the biggest threat to our lifestyle is that attitude, because it makes me ashamed. It makes me not feel any pride whatsoever. And it makes me wonder where we're going to be in another few years, thinking with such hatred and ignorance and bigotry. We'll take some more phone calls and see if things get any better. But I'd like to read this story. Actually, you know what? Let's go into the life first. While I'm reading this, why don't you find something that's about 7 seconds long that we can... you know what? Let's just have 7 seconds of silence, because it'll just take too long for us to find something like that. 7 seconds of silence, folks, because this place is such a shambles that this is what we have to do. I'm going to put you over here. And here we are, 7 seconds later. And that was 7 seconds of silence.
Yeah, and I think it's fitting. There's a lot of things to to observe and to acknowledge. And I think 7 seconds of silence every now and then is worthwhile. We appreciate what we have here on the radio airwaves when that 7 seconds is back.
You know, now I can't hear myself anymore, so I don't know how lousy I sound.
Oh, you sound fantastic.
I don't know. I don't know about that. But let me read the story right now. This is from the Times Beacon Record newspapers. That was quite a merger a few years ago. They're talking about how this Comeback Church might still house immigrant kids. Comeback residents, and I see the phones are ringing. We'll take phone calls in just a moment. Let me get through this story quickly. Comeback residents came out a couple of Tuesdays ago to once again oppose a church's idea of housing immigrant children in its facility. The church has not decided against considering the plan, despite reports that it would. The church's pastor, Reverend Dennis Walker, and others, including Comeback Community Association President Bruce Edinburgh, Reverend Mark Herbst, they sat on a panel at the Comeback Library explaining the idea of providing shelter to the children ages 4 to 17 who have crossed the U.S. border illegally from Mexico and need a place to stay while the federal government handles the influx. Walker said Tuesday it's ultimately up to the congregation to decide whether to pursue the plan. The church's council had scheduled a private meeting on August 4th with a representative from Lutheran Social Services of New York, who would give details associated with the idea. However, an uninvited crowd of residents attended the meeting, and Walker said they were too disruptive to allow it to go forward. Yeah, ugliness like that continues throughout all this. They cited the biblical story of the Good Samaritan helping someone of a different ethnic background. We are called to be good people, to minister the word of Christ, and to go out into the community and into the world. But residents who spoke expressed frustration with many things, including use of the term illegal immigrant versus undocumented immigrant versus refugee. And that's something that that bugs me, too, referring to kids as illegal immigrants or whatever. In the end, these are kids. In the end, these are people that are here, whether they got here in one form or another. It's not up to us at this level to go back in their history and figure out how they got here. Point is, they have no place to go. They are here. They're being processed in the bureaucracy, and they should be shown some humanity, period. And that's what everyone seems to have forgotten. Now, some asked for the pastor to promise not to move forward with hearing the proposal, which is a promise he did not make, and good for him. Others seem to have issues more with the federal government's handling of illegal immigrants coming over the border. Resident David Morris suggested using vacant Federal Emergency Management Agency trailers to house the children. Oh, that's much better for them, isn't it? Stick them in some FEMA trailers rather than be in a neighborhood. Well, you know what? With people like this around, you probably are better off in a trailer. Because think of the hostility that they would be exposed to. Think of the scariness that could be. He also said, we can set them up on the White House lawn. The room erupted in laughter and applause to that. Oh, Comeback. Yeah, Comeback Community Association member Dan Fusco suggested people call their congressman and complain about the issue at the border. Because that's what this is really about, is the issue at the border. Yeah. Many said they were most fearful that the church would make a decision without consulting them. It's just, it's sad. And we went over to Comeback after the show last week.
We did.
I, in fact, made a promise to boycott Comeback until they started showing something a bit more positive. And what's the first thing we did when we went over there? We bought something.
Oh, you don't have to admit this.
Well, I have to. I have to come clean. We bought something, and yeah, we filled up the car again. I didn't think about it until after we had done it. And never again, all right? We will not spend a penny in Comeback until some intelligent people move forward and start speaking with less hatred and more rational thinking behind what they say. Hey, our phone number is 631-632-6901 if anybody wants to call us. You're in the wrong channel, wrong position there. Yes, that's the other way. There you go. 631-632-6901 if you have anything to say here on Off the Wall. If you want to write to us, our email address is otw@2600.com. And we'd like to hear from you. In fact, if it's something that is thought out and uses complete sentences, we'll even read it on the air.
Yeah. I think we have our first call now. Are we going to be able to speak on this mic? Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, we just have to sort of lean over the telephone. So I'm going to move the mic over here.
All right. Hello, WUSB. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you.
USB?
USB, you're on the air.
I have the right number. Okay, I'll get to the point. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think, you know, these are shadowy issues. The things with the kids, it's pretty straightforward, you know, in my mind. They are children, you know, and I was listening to your show, I think it was 2 days ago, and somebody called up, and they were screaming him and his daughter about how they have to earn their right to freedom and this and that. And these people seem to be focused, you know, it's a lack of understanding and way too much emotion that clouds the reasoning.
Yes.
For some of these people.
And no empathy.
And, you know, I just think a lot of times people, the issues become just sort of, you know, marred into, you know, one sort of misunderstood subject or something that's like immigration itself is a very shadowy thing. And, you know, people don't know how to deal with it. Obviously, people are very passionate about it. But it genuinely scares me, the ugliness that's coming out of places like Comac. And really, they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know there's like, I could go on for a half hour, but they are children, and these people are not only vehemently opposed to their being there, but have the propensity for violence against these kids.
Absolutely. You know, it wouldn't have cost them a penny. The church would have gotten federal funds for this, would be out of debt, and they would have an opportunity to actually meet some of these kids, learn something about their culture, make their lives better, no matter what happens to them. It's not up to them where they go after this. It's up to however the system works, if they get reunited with parents, if maybe they get sent back to their country of origin. It's not up to us at that point any more than it's up to us to talk about birth control, whether they should be on the planet in the first place. And some people were bringing that up, too. It's insane. What you say makes sense. They're kids. They're here. It doesn't matter if they're from Mars. Well, it probably would. But it doesn't matter where they're from. We should handle it on that alone and be decent people.
I mean, it's a morality issue, obviously. And it becomes clouded with all these. Everybody seems to want to talk about, like, I haven't heard one legitimate argument that makes sense against why people are so enraged about this thing. It's not going to cost them money. Oh, the taxes. What are you talking about? How much do you think it's really costing you? Right. And then immigration comes in and all this stuff. People are so emotionally charged. And then with the media sensationalizing everything, I mean, it's just completely out of control.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love hearing your show, guys. Keep it up.
Thanks. Let's try to take one more phone call. Go ahead. Let's take this one. You hit it twice. You hung up on them. Okay, well, I guess we're out of time. you want to give him a second to call back? These phones are anti-instinctual as far as picking up telephones. That person was calling for such a long time. Hopefully they'll call right back.
It's not very fault-tolerant.
No, it's not. But then this place really isn't as well. Okay, pick it up. Let's hit it once.
Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening, over the
Bobson.
Hey, Bobson.
Bobson, you only have 30 seconds. We got to go.
Well, there was two things. You said Facebook and, what is it, the Twitter thing banned the video
The beheading video, yes.
Someone said that when you're not paying for the use of the service, you're not the customer. You're the merchandise being offered to the paying customers, and that was a few years back, and it's no less true now than it was then. So
yeah, I think we reiterated that the other week too. Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, it's true.
And I know that Emmanuel's been to the Ukraine, and I was there in last year in the spring, and
I've been there too.
Not a good thing what's happening there, unfortunately.
Definitely not, but we're not making it any better. Listen, Bobson, we're out of time. We have to exit delay and then go back to real life. And but people can write to us. Thanks for your call. People can write to us, otw@2600.com.
That's about all we have for the show tonight. And please write otw@2600.com. Until next time, good night.